pretty incredible business that we're all in, the entertainment industry. It's evolved incredibly over the years, and I think things are just picking up now with all the technology, the fact that we're all into digital. And as this industry continues to rapidly evolve, obviously we, with the responsibility of security, we have to continue to evolve with the threat. So my name is Scott Gicking. I'm with Deluxe. We're a company that, if you haven't heard of us, we have quite a few clients, most of the major clients in the industry. We've been in business for over 100 years. We provide creative, productive, and distribution services in the business. We were the original film company in movies. And we sold our last film lab a couple years ago. We're completely digital. We understand the value of content. We've known about it for 100 years. We've been protecting it. But it was a lot easier when it was a can of film, right? Now it's evolved into the digital arena. And to give you an idea what it's evolved into for us, we have 7,000 employees in 75 locations around the world. We're responsible, we had responsibility for 8 of the Best Picture Awards, 17 of the top nominated Emmy-nominated TV shows. We have 1,000-plus delivery endpoints. Monthly digital deliveries of 60,000 pieces of content. 7 million minutes processed a week. Multi-screen variants, different delivery platforms we have, over 300 that we provide to. 1 million minutes of content localized per month. And that's the amount of data we deal with around the globe. So we have quite a bit of responsibility in this digital age. And it was, you know, 5-10 years ago, the thought was, when we transitioned from film to digital, okay, now we got to be worried about these DVDs. People are going to copy them, right? We got to be worried about people doing the camcorders, because they're going to get copies of all these movies. And the truth is now, there's all these other platforms where the pirated movies will go to. If you ran the most used pirated sites today, and you do it a year from now, it's going to be a different set of sites. It is a matter of shutting down the sites. It's a matter of doing what we can to combat this this technology. Movies, well, this is global box office. If we just look at movies, and you know, for our company, the single most valuable piece of content would be a movie, because they're worth, you know, tens of millions of dollars, sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars. The global box office revenues continue to grow. What's happening now more than ever is it's in the international arena is where most of the revenue is coming from, or a growing portion of the revenue is coming from. And now, in today's environment, people demand to have that content in different platforms, not just in the movie theater, but, you know, like all the way to basically having it in your phone. You know, people want to have it at home. They want to have it on demand at home. They want to be able to get it on their phone. They want to be able to see it on their laptop. And the studios, those content producers, they want to be able to provide that to their clients. What the studios don't want to have to do is actually to provide that capability, so they hire others to do that. You know, the studios, they like shooting the movies, they like shooting the commercials and TV shows. They don't like necessarily localizing that content, putting it in the correct format, getting it where it needs to go. So they outsource. And I think, who was it? Dan Meacham said earlier today from Legendary Entertainment, he thought outsourcing was the single largest risk for the industry. And that's where basically you lose control of your content. You're relying on others to take care of it, right? Presents a tremendous amount of risk. And the truth is, how many times you transfer that asset increases the risk, right? And so if you look, these are all the different businesses that we do at Deluxe, and these are all the things that happen to that bit of content from the time it's captured until it shows up in people's living rooms or on their phone. You have the daily takes, coloring, special effects, editorial, 2D to 3D. sound, audio, color restoration, you know, all these different aspects that happen. If, you know, a studio wants to take that bit of content and have the sound into it, and they go to this sound studio, they have to pass that content over there. You know, they'll do their work, they get the final product back, and they bring it back. And each time you transfer that asset, you know, that is the biggest risk to an asset, right? So if you're looking, you know, across the platform, everything that has to happen to the movies or TV shows, commercials, and, you know, nowadays, there are TV shows like Game of Thrones, etc., that are very high value. You have commercials before the Super Bowl commercials come out. It's something that's held very tight. Mostly commercials aren't, there's not a lot of security restrictions around it, but when you're dealing with Super Bowl commercials, people want to wait and display that during the Super Bowl, right? We actually produce we help in the production of 60% of Super Bowl commercials. Because that's a high value content that you need to protect throughout all the environments. And again, if you look at it from the standpoint of when you're switching that asset, you're basically unlocking the asset at each point in that chain. That produces that vulnerability. So what do we do about that? You know, what the industry has come up with is they have MPA best practices, CDSA has some standards, and what they try to do is regulate to those vendors the controls that you need to have in place. And, you know, the truth is, if it was my content, I would do the same darn thing. I mean, you got to do that, right? You have to set expectations, standards. You have to set a minimum level of controls that people have to handle, that they agree to handle your assets with. And so what happens is they set up these controls. And I think the MPA controls, there's 267 different controls, depending on the type of work you're doing for the studios, that you have to have in place in order to deal with their asset. And they'll do security audits and they come and visit you periodically, and this isn't news to many of you. And so as a vendor that provides that service to the studio, just like all the other vendors, what are we trying to do? We're making sure that we're compliant with all those standards, right? So you want to make sure that you meet those standards, you meet all those controls. But the truth is, if you just meet all those controls, it does not necessarily mean that you are secure, right? So what you want to do is you want to, in addition to go back and you try to look at your physical and digital assets that you have and try to assess those you have in place and make sure that you stay on top of changes, developments. You know, with 75 locations around the world, we acquire businesses, we move into different locations, so our physical controls change, right? We'll move into new facilities. We need to make sure that we get the CCTV installed, the access control systems, that we have additional controls towards the server rooms, etc. And then on the digital side, we're going to change a workflow. We're going to now transition into a cloud environment. We want to make sure that we're still maintaining the asset and connect in conformance with the standard, and that we're continuing to have it secure into the future. So what we need to do is assess the changes we're going to make, speak with our client about the changes we're going to make, and make sure it's in compliance with their expectations. What we try to do at Deluxe is we understand that we need to have those controls in place and that we need to assess the physical structures that we have and the digital controls, right? And we need to continually look at all of those things. But the truth is, it's the human firewall that presents the most risk, right? Because if all those things are in place, it really only takes, you know, an email to an unsuspecting employee that provides access to maybe their email account. Maybe it'll provide access to information regarding contracts we have with clients, other sensitive information. I think there was, it was Lulu who talked about, she's the CDSA treasurer. She talked about confidential and valuable assets that also include contracts, documents, research, designs, employee data, pricing, marketing strategies, you know, those sort of things. Are susceptible to compromise if somebody's able to overtake the corporate email. So what you want to do is try to control that environment, make sure that the employees are wise to these things. And I think even Tom from Bad Robot says his biggest concern was the social engineering aspects of our business, and that people could gain access to valuable information by doing social engineering on your employees, by looking on their LinkedIn profile, seeing who they're associated with, crafting an email at that employee to convince them that they need to pass a script to you or whatever in connection with their business because, you know, they know you work with Bob, and Bob said it's okay. I'm in Lionsgate. We just need to get this. He told me to contact you in case of emergency, blah, 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 whatever you want to craft. So the truth is, the key point, I think, is to address your human firewalls. And I think the only way to really do that is to be engaged with your personnel. You need to be engaged with all your employees. They need to understand the risk. What we do at Deluxe, we do a security town hall where we go and talk to the employees. We go to every facility at Deluxe. You talk to them about why security is important to them and why they need to be part of the effort. Unfortunately, we have a great example of why people need to be part of that because of one of our clients, Sony, because of the Sony breach. We can point to that as an example of what could happen to a company, which was absolutely devastating, because they were compromised, their system was compromised. And nobody in any company wants to be that source of compromise where it brought down their company and their reputation and allowed them to lose business or cost them millions of dollars in connection with their systems. So by doing the security town halls, you're sharing with them the risk that exists in the environment, changes that are going to be happening, what they can expect, why it's relevant to them. And by having that town hall, you're having a dialogue. You can have question and answer with the employees. And instead of just pushing policy and, you know, passing audits, you actually engage with your personnel on why all this stuff is important to them. And by doing so, you're going to open the door to being engaged a lot more with your employees. They're going to come to you with a lot more questions. We've seen it happen at Deluxe. By being more engaged with them, we're getting bombarded with a bunch of information every day, people's concerns. Many times their concerns are unfounded, but they're being alert. They're being alert to things, and they're bringing it to your attention. You're saying, oh, that's okay. It's nothing to be worried about. We're aware of this. But I think by being engaged with the people, if you have the technology in place, working together, you'll be able to strengthen the environment. We have a tailored annual global security awareness training that we have. It's a mandatory training required for our employees. That we didn't just buy something off the shelf that talks about general security. We looked at what we do. We looked at incidents that have occurred in the past. And we tried to come up with, we laid out what our policies are. We came out with scenarios, and we tried to lay it all out so the employees were exercised in those scenarios so they would understand the policies and they would make the right decisions. We tried to provide them fresh and current information on the company website. We tell them about recent events. Just yesterday, you know, I sent out an email to everybody about a phishing campaign that came into our environment to let them know to be aware of it. And what's interesting is when you do the security town hall and you're telling them about different things, especially when you're talking about in the IT environment, you're sharing with them the risks that exist out there. It helps them both personally and professionally, and you get people's attention, you know, and they become very interested. And again, by being engaged, you know, they're more aware, more alert. We have, to also increase awareness, in addition to the site, in addition to the global training, security town halls, we have posters at all of our facilities that tell employees, you know, here's the run, hide, or fight, which is more on the physical side. But, you know, we'll tell them about don't download unauthorized software. You know, here you're talking about using, never reuse passwords, never click on links that you're unaware of. But, you know, all these things are all around in our environment to tell the employees just be aware of what exists out there. We also, and if you didn't see it, we have these brochures. What we want to do is, you know, we don't just sit there in isolation and security and try to secure the environment without anybody knowing about what we're up to. We want you to know what we're up to. So we have these brochures we give to our employees to tell them, you know, what we're doing. There's a stack on there in the back. I have some right here as well. But it kind of gives you an idea what our program is about. answers our questions. And I encourage you guys, if you want to use this for your environment, go ahead, please do. You know, it's going to make all of us more secure, right, in the industry. The truth is, I wouldn't want any of our clients, I wouldn't even want any of our competitors to be compromised. It's not good for the business. We find opportunities for lunch and learn presentations where maybe something recent comes up regarding a recent threat, business email compromise. You know, we can have a lunch and learn, and we'll tell them what that is. Because the truth is, if you're just sending them an email, you're posting on the website, they may not see it. But if you do a lunch and learn, you tell somebody about it. Now they learn it, you know, they're learning a little bit more about it. So by just being more engaged, it helps. And what you really need for all this to happen is executive level support. And what I've found is by being engaged in the entertainment industry community, by being part of the Studio Security Chiefs Association, by being part of Cyberhood Watch, by being part of Domestic Security Alliance Council, you become more aware of threats that are out there and what other people are dealing with, and you bring that to the attention of management. And you let them know what your ideas in that way to combat that. And you get the support that you need. You know, none of this is rocket science, by the way. I'm sharing with you guys what we do in our environment to make that human firewall just a little bit stronger. Because I think if we all just continue to put the controls in place, pass audits, do our job every day, and we don't engage our personnel, we're kind of spinning our wheels. Because it only takes one employee to compromise a network, right? We don't really want that. So by doing that, by engaging that human firewall, by implementing all those policies, etc., you can lock down each of those chains. And what we're, well, you know, we say from our company, because we do all these services, if your asset comes into our environment here, comes out there, there's only two points of transfer to the asset. You know, and it is that point of transfer because we can actually transfer the asset in our private production networks, you know, from the first point all the way until the end. And the more you can do that, if you're a provider, you know, you can bring it all in under house and not transfer that asset around, not have everybody operate in isolation, the more secure the industry will be. If you aren't aware of WebWatch, it's a service that our company provides to all the major studios. What it does is it monitors the dark web to find out about chatter or release of valuable content out on the dark web. They also have the ability to look at watermarking and identify the source of where that pirated asset came from. We're working on forensic watermark technology to protect the higher quality 4K content. You know, as the content continues to evolve, bad guys are finding opportunities to try to take advantage of it. We have to continue to evolve with it, right? Current protection systems for HTCP 2.2, this is all well beyond me. They've proven ineffective. We are working on a solution as we continue to evolve. We use for localization, when you have to produce a movie in 100 and so languages, 100 or 150 languages, you have to have that movie localized in the individual environments. You have to have people in a faraway country translate that into another language. We don't have all those translators that are good in that local language under our roof. Some have to do it remotely, and so we use virtual desktop technology where they can't actually grab the asset. They can see the asset. It's low resolution. They can't grab it at all. They don't have any control over the asset, but they can provide that localization work, and we can get it back to the client in a safe manner. Because we bring in the asset, you know, if we go back to all the different assets we bring in, we have a centralized data center where we take in the asset and it's going out, as opposed to at each of our facilities. We can do it at one and get it around the world. So again, it reverses that, or reduces the transfer points. This is one that a partner of mine, Neil, came up with, which I liked. Content is vital and valuable, and it makes it vulnerable, right? Because people want to get it. They're going to find a way to try to get to it. Our clients entrust us with the content. It's in our care. And so what we try to do at Deluxe is make security part of the culture. So we involve the people, making it part of the culture. We not only comply with physical and digital. We're providing that different environment. Do you guys have any questions about kind of our approach or suggestions or anything, remarks you want to make? Yeah.
Steve Long with Hewlett Packard. We had an interesting meeting with the SAG Motion Picture Television Engineers over at DreamWorks a few weeks ago. We had Mike Song, your coworker, the FBI, came out. He talked about other threats around the world that are going on, not just in our industry, but in other industries. What do you see out there? What are you concerned about? I know you talked about some, but you talked about some specific threats in some other industries. I just want to get your thoughts.
What do I see as the most recent threats?
Yeah.
The biggest threats? Somebody have a comment?
Yes, I said Neil.
Oh, Neil. He's the biggest threat. I think it's probably the fact that we're going to be delivering content to all these different platforms. So if you look at, and I forget who it was, one of the presenters, he talked about the box at the mall that you could go and a guy said, hey, you can buy this box and we'll give you access to all this different content. Somebody bought the box and thought, this is great, and they thought it was legit, and it's accessing all these torrent sites. Well, that was a box you had to buy at the mall. The truth is, I don't have to buy a box at the mall because they're going to have apps. There's going to be apps for this that I can just load on my phone, and it's going to make it probably really easy for me to access content. Because if they can do it on that box, I'm sure they can provide something for my phone. And everybody likes to watch their stuff on their phone. So I think what we need to do is realize, just like the music industry did, if we don't provide a frictionless way, to use terms we're used today, for people to get to that content, that blue section of people that will buy it if it's easy enough, not necessarily rule followers, but if it's easy enough, they'll do it. That blue section of the chart, you guys remember what I was talking about? We can capture that piece. That's the biggest piece of the market, right? You want to make it easy for people to get that content legitimately, right? And that's our job. That's a job that we try to do for the studios the best we can. Provide them that content so it can be looked at on their iPhone, or it can be looked at in their living room video on demand. So I think the biggest threat is if we can't provide that level of service and make it really easy for people, then they're going to go to that dark market. Because it's basically, you saw the stats there too, it's like 50% of people, or it's 50% of the time spent on their mobile phone, only 41% on the PC. So people are on their phones all the time. I ride a train every week, and everybody's on their phone the whole time, and they're not, like you said, searching the web, they're looking at apps. And so, whether they're looking at a movie on HBO Go, or they're on some torrent app, watching a movie, that's going to be up to the industry, right? We have to make it easy, I think, for people to be able to get that content. Questions?
Are you doing anything different, I guess, technologically throughout your supply chain toward making sure that content is protected? So, I understand the human training and that human firewall, but are you also within those individual points where you had that lock, handing off content and encrypted?
And it's one thing you might have missed, so the MPAA and the CDSA, they have a set of best practices that we agreed to follow. We have SLAs, we have agreements with all of our clients that we will follow these security procedures. So if you look at the MPAA alone, the MPAA, there are 267 different security controls that we need to have under our roof when we're handling content for one of the major studios. And we have each of those in place. So you're talking about an encrypted file transfer. So you're talking about complex passwords. You're talking about, firewalls. You're talking about all those different controls, which we do have. And what I'm saying is, we follow those best practices, but unless you include your people on that, they can get around those processes. Right?
You're dealing with content encrypted from one hand to the next, so where they can seamlessly use that encrypted content on different systems all the way through your supply chain internal to your company. Are you doing anything like that?
I don't know that that exists. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mario. Does that exist?
Encrypted across all the environments?
Some avenues of the business at rest and in transit will encrypt the content. And based on the individual unique workflows and how they access the content, which I think is more towards where your question, you know, is coming from, is how is it protected through the whole supply chain? So even intercompany, right? So how are we transferring the assets securely from one business unit to the next in an encrypted and secure fashion so that it's not accessible on the internet? Well, so there's plenty of ways that this is achieved, one of which is the segregation of obviously, you know, internet access on these production workstations. They have no access to the internet. There's ACLs that are established between business units in some situations, and based on these workflows and based on how they're handling the content, will be securely transferred, encrypted in rest and in transit. So once the assets are transferred from one location to the next, they're done in an encrypted fashion. When they're on the destination where they're stored and then subsequently accessed, they're also encrypted. And a certain level of people within the organization or the business units that have access to the content will have the knowledge that they need in order to decrypt the content and access it in a secure fashion. So that's the answer to that. We also have several proprietary systems that we've built internally for asset management that sort of address that issue specifically. So, when you think about it in this respect, it's a bunch of files sitting on a file server that everybody has access to, when in reality, it's files that are encrypted that are in systems that have mechanisms built in place for the accountability, the transactional history of who's accessing it and when they are. So all those pieces sort of combine. So I hope that addresses your question.
And one thing, I think it's, you know, on the creative side, creation in the business, you know, you're changing the asset. You're changing it over, so you need to have the ability to unlock the asset and look at it, so it's not going to be encrypted throughout. We get to a point, certain point in the chain where you have the final encrypted version, but sometimes then you have to change and move it into different formats. So you always need to manipulate the asset, so at some point you need to unlock the encryption, right? But when you're transferring, you know, if you're certainly going to be leaving the networks, then it's going to be an encrypted transfer. Questions? Thank you for your time. It's 5:00. Time for the next one.